Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 3:19 PM and that is Central Time. Today is November 29th and I thought I'd kick off with the VIX because it pulled back sharply in here today. Now it wasn't completely off on the low when it closed, but not far off it either. And certainly this looks like a peak of near-term significance. Now this is we had a big response to the Omicron variant on Friday, but a large number of indices and certainly a lot of instruments had downside key reversals, but the key to the key is both size and follow through. And some of those moves were sufficiently large to certainly raise some alarm, but we have not had downside follow through, at least not yet. And the fact that the VIX is starting to pull back from the upper side of this range, now it did close at a new high on Friday, and certainly that was a potential threat that the VIX might continue higher in here today, but it didn't. So we're starting to see that a large number of indices are beginning to firm from the region of their respective either the trend mean or the upper side of the underlying range. And in the case of the S&P 500, around the upper side of the underlying range, and it didn't quite unwind its overbought condition relative to the 100-day moving average. Now to mind the 200-day moving average, it was up about 1.5% in here today. Now we still have some uncertainty about the Omicron variant. It does look like it is more transmissible, so that means that it'll be easier for people to get it, and that will be married up against then the potential that it might not be quite as deadly. But it's unlikely to be less deadly or as less deadly as it is more transmissible. In other words, or perhaps to be more articulate, one is unlikely to outweigh the other. And then, of course, the question that throws the big question onto just how efficacious are the vaccines going to be against it. Well, if the Delta variant is any guide, then it's likely at least that the vaccines will be or will have some efficacy, and there will obviously be some people that it will not work for, other people that it will, and that potentially that this will be a storm in a teacup. If that's the case, then the bigger question is, will any of this change the way that the Federal Reserve and other central banks think about the question of tightening or the potential for them to alter their plans on whether they should taper faster or slower? And when we think about the 10-year yield, well, it has also found support in the region of the trend mean in here, but wasn't quite able to hold on to all of the advance in here. So we still have some demand for bonds. And I think then the really big standout today was crude oil, because it didn't hold its rally at all. And Brent crude is finishing out the day up only very marginally on the close that we had on Friday. So obviously we have a big OPEC plus Russia meeting coming up, and it's likely that they're going to shave some of their production, because the last thing they want is a significant decline in the oil price. And at the same time, the efforts to release some supply from reserves will be more, will have more of an impact on the market if there's less demand. So it is likely that we're moving into another wave of the COVID fears, and that there will be more cases, and that the peak will probably arrive faster because the transmissibility of the Omicron variant is much quicker. So then it does look like the various central banks will have to delay their plans, or at least not accelerate their plans for tapering or raising rates. And if that's the case, well, then it does offer the potential that some of the stay-at-home champions will continue to do well. So the Nasdaq today was in positive territory as well, and up in a reasonably dynamic manner and completely unwinding the decline that we had on Friday. So then bouncing from the upper side of the underlying range. And if we just zoom out and look at this on a weekly basis, well, we still have a consistent trend. We have ranges one above another, and the index could have pulled back more and still been in a reasonably consistent advance. Now, we had the downside weekly key reversal last week, but again, no follow through. And if there's no follow through, well, then it's only a signal of very short-term significance. And the big consistency of the Nasdaq's trend has been this propensity to range at for months at a time and then break out, and those breakouts to be sustained. So as long as the breakout is sustained, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Then the dollar index had pulled back sharply on Friday and then rebounded somewhat in here today. Of course, if the Federal Reserve slows down the pace of tapering, that's not dollar bullish. So the dollar has had one of the less impressive rallies in here today. Oil as well, of course, is having a less impressive rally. And then natural gas prices pulled back really very sharply in here today, down 60 cents. So this is reflective of warmer weather in North America, and that could potentially help to ameliorate some of the pressure that's been building on European natural gas prices. Now, they were up in here today and held the breakout, or the gap higher, I should say, even though they are closing below the open. I was talking with my brother who's living in northern Scotland, and they were without electricity over the weekend for 50 hours. So, this extraordinary cold snap and storm that blew through much of Europe, then that has obviously had an effect, and it's a foretaste of a cold winter, and it helps to highlight just how low reserves are. But if natural gas prices are coming down in North America, well, then the rationale for significant LNG cargoes to be moved over, that's likely to help to sustain the breakout for Cheniere Energy. When we then think about the wider commodity complex, the copper price was also in mildly positive territory in here today. We had the big downward dynamic and downside key yesterday. No downside follow through. It's right in the region of the 200-day moving average. So it's a bit touch and go right now. Some of these stock markets look like they've found support. Some of the commodities look like they need some greater, our investors need more convincing. Gold was down nearly $20 in here today and testing the lower side of this 5-day range and also the region of the 200-day moving average. So it certainly needs an upward dynamic to hold in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And we had a weak day right across the boards in stock markets, particularly in Asia, where the Nikkei was down about 1.6%. But that was reflecting the weakness that we had in North America on Friday. But it was surprising that with the rebounds that we're seeing on Wall Street, that we didn't have a better rally coming through in Europe. And part of the reason for that was because of the strength of the euro on Friday. So a lot of the big move on the upside we've had since the beginning of October in Europe has been down to the weakness of the currency. And that's going to what we really need is an internal demand growth story in Europe and a pickup in the global economy. And obviously, that's going to be difficult to achieve when there are so many uncertainties about the coronavirus and the latest variant. Moderna continues to ramp higher, and they said that they're going to have, and so did Pfizer for that matter, they both said that they're going to have a booster shot for the Omicron variant within 100 days. So, and but the problem with investing along these lines is that it really is a one or a winner takes all environment. Moderna was the leading advancer in here today. Pfizer was in negative territory, and it was the opposite on Friday. And when we think about then the biotechnology sector, Moderna is a significant weighting within it. So as Moderna rebounds, then that's also aiding in the performance of the biotech index. It's also worth considering that Moderna is also a major constituent of the IPO ETF. So as Moderna starts to rebound, it also led some credence to this instrument as well. I thought one of the other big standouts in here today was the cryptocurrency sector. So we're increasingly seeing some evidence, at least, that the magnets for liquidity are rallying. Now, Bitcoin pulled back extremely violently 4 days ago, and it has almost recouped that decline. And it's right in the region of the peak from back in September. And we've seen in the past that Bitcoin has been able to find support in the region of the upper side of the underlying range. So it's doing that now. And if it pushes back above the 60,000 level, well then that will break the sequence of lower rally highs, and it'll certainly increase the potential that it will ramp back up to test the upper side of the range around the 70,000 level. But what's, I think, perhaps more important, or at least more impressive, has been the resilience of Ethereum. And it also had a downside key reversal 3 weeks ago. And then it's had some really quite profound, big downward dynamics over the course of November, and yet it has still continued to hold that 4,000 level and rebounding in here over the last 2 days. So this is certainly really quite impressive. And when we look at one relative to the other, well then we can see that Ethereum has been ranging since May relative to Bitcoin, but it is coming back up towards the upper side of that range. And there's the potential here that this is the beginning of something quite different, and that Ethereum has potential to start to outstrip the gains available on Bitcoin. And if that's indeed the case, well then it's going to start to attract a lot more interest. And particularly if we also continue to see other magnets for liquidity continuing to do well, because Tesla was also in positive territory in here today, up $55. So that's a higher reaction low that we've seen now over the last couple of days. And it's holding this move above the $1,000 level in really quite admirable fashion. We're also continuing to see just a wave of new IPOs coming through in the electric car sector. So Li Auto was notable for popping on the upside to test the upper side of the range in here today. And another Chinese auto company is also starting to steady here. But what I find particularly interesting is that it's the big, potentially profitable companies that are being encouraged to delist, and it's those that and there are lots of other electric car companies from China listed in the USA. They're not being put under any pressure to delist, and they have lots of data that they're collecting about their drivers too, and the Chinese government doesn't seem to have any problem with these companies. And potentially that is also because they are still a long way from making a profit. So maybe the Chinese government is happy for companies that they don't believe are going to make profits to list overseas and to accumulate foreign investment, and those that it thinks are vital to the domestic economy, then they'll be encouraged to list at home. And then if we can think about everything that's going on in the property sector, and China Evergrande was in negative territory today, and the CSI 300 was coming back down to test the lower side of the range, and it's likely to bounce tomorrow. But just like we're seeing with the Nasdaq and the mega caps in the USA, the ChinaX index is pushing up to test its highs, and it's right in the region of the peak from back in 2015, and this continues to look like a reasonably benign trading environment. And the Chinese renminbi is now moving in lockstep with the US dollar. So it's up and down a bit over the course of the last couple of months, but really has been extremely inert. So then when we look at its performance relative to Europe, the devaluation of the euro looks really quite profound, considering that in the middle of 2020, the euro was breaking out against the renminbi, and it has more than corrected that advance and is now back around the 7.2 level. Now, the euro is very oversold, but European 3-year, excuse me, 3-month yields are almost at a negative 1% level. So there's an awful lot of money floating around looking for a home, and that home is certainly helping to support yields, to act as a demand driver for yields in the USA and helping them to be lower than they might otherwise be. And at the same time, it's a source of liquidity that's helping to support speculative activity around the world. So we're still in an environment where financial conditions are extremely accommodative, and the Omicron variant represents a risk. And because there is a risk, then it's likely to result in any measure to accelerate the pace of tightening or normalization to slow back down again. And despite the fact that there is a risk, that's perhaps the more important factor. So anything that's dependent on low interest rates is likely to get a benefit from this kind of environment. And if we get more of a deflationary outcome, well, then that explains why the oil price is weaker, and also why the dollar is a little weaker, because that will remove some of the impetus behind higher interest rates and will then also help to benefit the stay-at-home champions. And I think that's very much reflective of what we're seeing in the market right now. I think that there's still room for some surprises to come, but as long as we're still in a liquid and a financial condition liquid environment, then we're likely to continue to see relative strength from the stock market and risk assets. I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.